Well, if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, let's stand to our feet and look in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 29, and there in verse 10, we'll read down to verse 14. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight in the way of His Word. Amen. It was felt funny yesterday not going to church. I'll be honest with you. And so it feels like I haven't been to church for a long time. But I'm glad that I've made it back. Amen. Chapter 29 of Jeremiah, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Let's pray. Father, I come to the name of Jesus here this evening. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the reading of it. Thank you for the songs that we've sung tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of your children. Thank you for our visitor tonight. We pray, Lord, you meet the need. I pray, Lord, help us to see the Word of God. Help us to bring out the thought, God, you laid on our hearts. And Father, may it be clear, may it be plain. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thought about the captivity of Babylon. Of course, the great words that are said there in verse 11 and 12 and 13, tremendous words. You might have seen people use those from different occasions and different times. And just to think of that this evening is really, especially verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Boy, that's a lot of words that our Lord has said to us. And to think of that tonight, of how God thinks, and boy, you're really, in verse 11, you're getting into the mind of God. You're getting into the thought process of God. And sometimes in our life, sometimes in our world, sometimes in our circumstances, we kind of wonder, what's God thinking? I mean, sometimes you're thinking, well, man, you know, I blew it. I messed up. I tell you, I really fouled this one up. There's no doubt he's probably thinking how he's going to punish me, or what I'm going to, how I'm going to have to go through this test and this trial to get back with God. And that might be our faults, but you know, God's not thinking that away. God's thinking, according to the Scripture, He's thinking the thoughts of peace. God wants peace, amen? God wants peace with you. God wants peace of you. It's all about with God and peace, but it don't always work out that way. I look in a country today, in America, and could America be in spiritual captivity? Could we as America today be in a place as if the children of Israel were in Babylon? I notice in the Scripture here, though, I notice that it talks about, verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years accomplished at Babylon." There was a 70-year captivity that God has said in Daniel chapter 2, you have the term there, but He prophesies of the 70-year exile or 70-year captivity in Babylon. Now I want to kind of get you into a mindset tonight of, are we in captivity? Are we as Americans, as we as the church tonight, as the children of Israel were, God's people in exile? I want to kind of give you a few things, and then we'll get into the message. But the first thing I want you to kind of we determine is why would we think that America is in exile? Well, I kind of want you to kind of look at the morality of many people today. There was a time in America that it was led and guided by spiritual or by biblical principles. There was a time when America was heavy on its belief of the Word of God and of Christ and and of those things tonight. But you look at the morality of man. I'm not going to talk long on this, on each one of these, but I thought about what is really the principle of America in a way of your friends, in the way of your family, in the most of churches today. How is it? What is really going on? Well, I believe it's one thing, and there's many, but there's others. But one thing I will say is secular humanism. Now, what does secular mean? Secular means pertaining to the world, not spiritual or sacred. So we're talking about secular. We're talking about not anything spiritual or not anything sacred like the Bible. Also, humanism means this tonight. It means a system of thought or action concerned with the interests or ideas of people. And so we talk about humanism, we're talking about the thoughts and the ideas of individuals. Here's another way of saying it. Humanism, secular humanism, embraces human reasoning. It ethics, it's social justice, it's philosophy, it's naturalism, while specifying rejecting religious doctrine of dogma, supernaturalism, superstition and basis of morality and decision making. Listen to this. Secular humanism is that it poses that human beings are capable of being ethical and moral without religion and a God. It does not, however, assume that humans are either inherently evil or innately good. Nor does it present humans as being superior to nature. So humanism tonight, and the way of saying it is secular humanism, and Ho is saying this. It's saying that I am fully in control. I need not God. I need not the Bible. I need not a principle of anything of the Lord. I am capable of myself of making decisions, whether it's moral or ethical, of any decision, and I'm able to do that. There's neither a wrong, there's neither a right. All things are according to my view and to my thought. If I say something is right, it's right. If I say something is wrong, it's wrong. Amen? And so that's where we are in human mind and human thought today, right here in the world. The morality of many. We can also see if our America is in a spiritual exile or spiritual captivity, not only because of the many of their morals, but the politicians we elect. This is an interesting thought. Is America in captivity like Israel? Well, let's kind of look at maybe the very thoughts of being the ones that have been elected. And listen to what some of our leaders of the days gone by has said. For example, our forefathers believed that a person couldn't serve the public office without acknowledging a belief in God or His principles. Now, ain't that something? Our forefathers said that. The originators of this called America said that there couldn't be anybody in public office unless they acknowledge a belief in God and His principles. Our forefathers believed that each citizen is accountable to his fellow citizens, God and his country, to elect only those leaders faithful to religious principles and moral higher standards. Our forefathers believed that this is a sign of a true patriot. Listen to the quote from Abigail Adams. A true patriot must be a religious man. He who neglects his duty to his Maker may well be expected to deficient and insincere in his duty towards the public. Noah Webster said, when a citizen gives his suffrage a vote to a man of known immorality, he abuses his trust, civil responsibility. He sacrifices not only his own interests, but that of his neighbor. He betrays the interests of his country. Wow. In America today, we are told that what is done in one's private life is a private matter. But private behavior should not influence our view of our leaders' ability to serve in public office. Today, America embraces this untruth. Yet it wasn't always so. Back when we were founded as an America, we were founded in the fact that those who voted were God-believing and God-fearing people, and they voted in the politicians and offices of those that feared and believed God. Let's look at America. Are we in a spiritual captivity by the vote, by those that are in leadership today? Let's look at the laws that have been passed. Let's look in America. Are we in captivity? Well, look at the laws. That gives us truth. I'm not going to go over every law, but just a few. Look at some of the laws that have been passed. Oregon approved legalized physician-assisted suicide, making Oregon the first government in the world to make the practice legal. So Oregon has said now that physicians has the right to cause anyone to die. They call it suicide, physician suicide. So, in other words, tonight, if you have a relative or a friend who's dying of cancer and you just want them not to go through the suffering and the pain of that, you go to the doctor and the doctor would just go forth and euthanize that individual, and it's all legal in Oregon. I guess that's okay. I don't believe it's so. California requires pro-homosexual tolerance education at all public schools and all grade levels, including kindergarten. The provides taxpayer-funded grants to take children on field trips to teach them the diversity and tolerance of homosexuality. That's in California. These are the laws that are being passed. It's okay to kill when someone's with cancer. It's okay to teach and promote homosexuality. Another one, last one, is the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, an unsuccessful federal bill to prohibit performance of partial birth, dilation and extraction, and end intact dilation and execution late-term abortion procedures, which entail delivery of the torso, piercing of the undelivered skull, collapsing the skull via suction curate, and then completing the delivery. The bill was vetoed and override failed in U.S. Supreme Court. We find that today abortion is legal in Rockwell. 3 million babies are dead every year because of abortion. I would say that tonight, is America in captivity? You can tell by the morality of it. You can tell by the leadership of it. You can tell by the laws that are passed. Last one, how about the court's decisions? Well, the court decision was to remove student prayer. That happened. A court removed of Bible readings. It says no state law or school board may require that passages from the Bible be read or that the Lord's Prayer be recited in public schools or state beginning in each school day. The court went on to say if the portions of the New Testament were read without explanation, they could be and will and have been psychologically harmful to the student. The removal of the Ten Commandments. It says about prayer, it says prayer in this public school system breaches the constitutional wall of separation between church and state. The removal of benedictions and invocations from school activities, religious invocation, and high school commencement exercise conveyed message the district had given the endorsement of prayer and religion so that the school district was probably prohibited, including the invocation and commencement of exercises. We find that the freedom of speech and press is guaranteed to students unless the topic is religious, at which time such speech becomes unconstitutional. If a student prays over his lunch, it is unconstitutional for him to pray aloud. These are laws. Oh, is America in captivity? It is unconstitutional for a board of education to use or refer to the word God in any of its official writings. In Alaska public schools, students are told they could not use the word Christmas in school because it had word Christ in it. Nor could they have the word of their notebooks or exchange Christmas cards or presents nor display anything with the word Christmas on it. America without God. I just want to say tonight, in the way of looking at America, we can find out whether they're really in captivity by just looking at its morality, looking at its leadership, looking at the laws that have been passed, and look what the court's decisions have been made. We find today the rise of self. We find today that self has become the most important one. There's a self-importance and self in the way that you are promoted. You're promoted. Yourself is promoted in high school and junior high. Yourself is promoted in churches today. Yourself is promoted in psychological psychiatrists. Yourself today is promoted in homes, and yourself today is promoted in sports and entertainment and TV and radio, and you'll find that sports and its songs and all of its content is all geared to do one thing. That is to raise up self We're in a self-generation today. We find also the movement of sodomy or the movement of homosexuality. We see that homosexuality. You can't watch a show on TV without a sodomite in it. You can't look at a magazine without a sodomite in it. You can't look at a billboard without a sodomite in it. You can't go to any place or anywhere where you don't see some homosexual, some lesbian, someone tonight who is of sodomy, and they're all over the place. They're in politics, they're in entertainment, they're in sports, they're in churches, they're in schools, they're in colleges, they're in workplaces, and they seem to become more powerful. They become more verbal. They're becoming more mean and ugly. And friend, you'll find the movement of homosexuality is America in captivity. We find only the movement of sodomy, where they're stealing our kids, and they're stealing our wives, and they're stealing our marriages, they're stealing our families, they're stealing our culture, and they're stealing our lives. Homosexuality is tonight. I heard a guy the other day say that the movement of homosexuality, the mindset and the motivation of those is to outlaw Christianity. We're talking about some serious things tonight. Is American captivity, the rise of self, the movement of sodomy, the allowing of sin. Tonight we find that it just seems like sin's not sinful any longer. It just seems like tonight that sin is looked upon and laughed at. It just seems like today that sin today of years gone by when a girl wore a short dress or a revealing and immodest clothing, there was shame. Today, there's entertainment and there's dollars with that. You find today when a man came home drunk or a man came home or had got caught in an affair, there was a ridicule with that. There was a mark against that. But today, it's just accepted as behavior of men. Amen? We find today as sin of the drug and the alcohol and the sex, we find today that it's just what everybody's doing. It's just what it is, the way that it is. It's just how our culture is, and you've got to accept it just like it is. And so the acceptance of sin, or the allowing of sin, has brought forth a captivity of this called America. The pressure of Satan. The church is sleeping. All the churches are really worried about today are their buildings. All they're really worried about today is their meetings. All they're really worried about today is their gatherings. All they're worried about today, really, is the money. All they're really concerned about, am I pleasing the people? Am I giving to them what they need? Am I giving to them what's going to bring them back next Sunday? Am I doing what I'm doing in order to grow, in order to become one, in order to be of harmony? And that everybody's got to come together and everybody love one another and let everybody be friends and everybody be family and everybody just have all kinds of concern and happiness and joy. There be no pain. There be no suffering with this Christianity. There be no time of hurt, no time of guilt, and no time of conviction. And none of that's anymore been told of because today churches are sleeping by and large. Christians are fearing the Muslims. Christians are fearing the Sodomites. Christians are fearing the atheists. Christians are fearing the government. Today the Christians are backtracking. Today the Christians are withdrawing. Today the Christians are seem like to be the ones that are causing ourselves tonight as a Christian to not tell anybody I'm a Christian, or to be aware of telling anybody we're a Christian, or anything that we believe about being a Christian, and what makes us a Christian, and what calls us to be a Christian, and the foundations and the doctrines that we stand on as a Christian tonight. Friend, we're fearing of those things. Is America in a spiritual captivity? There's the Christianity that is fleeing. People are quitting churches. People are quitting Christianity. People are stopping what they believe. People are coming to apostasy. People are quitting. People are getting quiet. People are changing. And people are even denying who used to be Christians. And so Christianity today is falling away. Christianity today is falling out. Christianity today, friend, has come to the place where it is in a place of captivity. So tonight we could see these things, and boy, I ain't gonna stay long on them, but preachers today are not listening to the Word of God and preaching His Word. Preachers have become dumb dogs that won't bark. Preachers are too more important in entertainment and in performance up here than any other way. Brother George said it a while ago. He said it well. He said, I got stage fright. And that's all it is up here to a lot of people. It's a stage tonight. It's a performance. It's an hourly entertainment. And friend, when you come up here, whether you're singing, whether you're preaching, whether you're teaching, whether you're playing, whatever you're doing, it's all about making others happy. It's all about making others laugh. It's all about making others feel good about themselves. It's all making others just cherish and have a time. And friend, it's what those preachers are. They're not listening to God's Word and preaching God's Word. I tell you what, the people are not listening to God's Word and they're not practicing God's Word. So we find preachers not listening to God and not preaching. We find people not listening to God and not practicing. So we find a country. We find a people in captivity. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 25, and we'll just talk a little bit about the message tonight. What is the cause of captivity? What will bring America? What has brought Israel? What will bring the whole world into captivity, into exile? What will cause this captivity? Well, chapter 25 of Jeremiah, look in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. Says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which the Jeremiah the prophet spake unto the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah unto the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. Now, boy, listen, pay a close attention now to the next few verses. And when I say underline something, if you want to, you can underline it. But I'm fixing to tell you what is the cause of captivity. He says, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but, underline this if you like, ye have not hearkened. Hearken to what? Hearken to the word of the Lord. That's what. Look at verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all His servants all the servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Underline that. So up to this point here, God sent the prophets, God sent servants, God sent preachers, God sent people, God sent, and they haven't heard. They're not listening. Verse 5, they said, turn you again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. It's always the same. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your ways. Turn! Repent! And turn! It's always the same answer. Verse 6 says, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me. Broke not to anger with the works of your hands, I will do you no hurt. Look at verse 7. Yet you have not hearkened unto me. Well, underline that. Saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. You know what tonight? Why that there is in our country, why is it the rise of self? Why is it the movement of sodomy? Why is it that there's allowance of sin? Why is it that there was the pressure of Satan? Why is it that we keep on voting in immoral, wicked people into our Congress, into our presidency? Why is it today that our laws are being passed anti-Christ and anti-God? Why is it tonight that you and I see much morality? Immorality going forth and murder and kill and drugs and alcohol. But why is it divorce and rape and beat up and abuse? Why is our court decisions keep on making the same decisions? Anti-God, anti-Christ. I'm going to tell you why. Because me and you are not listening to God's Word. That's exactly what happened to Israel. They would not hearken unto God's Word. Now, friend, you've got a Bible in front of you. If you don't have one, you need to get one because you're going to be accountable for it. But if you've got one tonight, you are to read it and listen to it and listen to what God has to say. Now, what does it mean to hearken tonight? What does it mean to do that? Well, number one, it means to obey His Word. Do you know tonight you have no excuse before God on the day of judgment to say, God, I didn't know what Your Word said when You got it right in front of you? Tonight, you ain't got no excuse tonight to stand before God on the judgment day and God says to you, why didn't you obey My Word? And you say, I didn't have one, or I didn't know that, or boy, I tell you, I was just ignorant of that, friend. Ignorance is no excuse with God. The fact of the matter is, Israel went off into captivity because they would not hearken to God's Word. They would not obey God. And why America has went off into captivity is because they will not obey God's Word. And the reason why you are going to captivity is because you will not obey God's Word. That's the cause of captivity. The second meaning of this word hearken tonight, it means very clearly tonight, it means to consider His Word. In other words, tonight, when you make a decision, you consider His Word. In other words, when you get married, you'll consider His Word. When you go to church and what church you go to, consider His Word. When you go vote for president, for senator, House representatives, governor, mayor, you consider His Word. When you go look for employment, if you go to school, where you buy your house, where do you live, what do you do for entertainment, what kind of music do you listen to, what do you do for your life, what do you do for your career, you consider His Word. You know why we are where we are tonight? You know why Israel's right where she's at? You know why America's headed the way she's going and you and I tonight doing the same thing? It's because you and I just don't consider His Word. We do what we do without asking God. Then whenever we make the wrong decisions and go the wrong way, we say, God, help us. And God says, I didn't tell you to go that way in the first place. The word hearken means to consider His Word. It means to obey His Word. And thirdly tonight, the word hearken means to tell His Word. In other words, tonight what God is saying is, I'm not interested in you just listening to what I have to say, but I am interested in you telling what I have to say. Because, see, here's the real problems. The problem is you and I, if we're not going to obey God's Word, we're surely not going to consider it. And while we're not obeying it and consider it, we're not telling anybody about it. And so why the captivity of Israel went into captivity because they wouldn't hearken unto God, because they wasn't telling anybody outside of God about who God was. And today we find in our schools, we're teaching about homosexuality. We're teaching about secular humanism. We're teaching about socialism. We're talking about communism. We're talking about all kind of other isms tonight. But we're not talking about God. We're not teaching our children about God. Hey, you say, is it important to have a home Bible study? Is it important to have a devotion time? You better believe it's important. Hey, man, you're against God if you're not hearkening unto Him and telling your children about what God said. Not telling your grandchildren about what God said. If you're not telling your family what God said, is it important to go out and tell others about God? Oh, it's, yeah, it's important because the Bible says you hearken unto Me. If you don't want to go into captivity, if you don't want to be like Israel, if you want to keep on going like America's going, just keep your mouth shut and don't hearken to His Word. I know it's Wednesday night, but it's been an extra day before I got to preach. What's the cause of captivity? Not hearkening to God's Word. Not obeying it. Not considering it. And not telling it. You know why we all work tonight? Because we that are Christians, we got lockjaw. The reason why we got locked jaws because we don't consider His Word. And the reason why we don't consider it because we don't obey it. The reason why we don't obey it is because it's not in us. Oh, it's sitting on our drawer. It's sitting in the back of our car. It's sitting on a shelf somewhere. Oh, we put it in the same place every time we come home from church. But the only time I ever open it is at church. And while I'm at church listening to Him, I'm watching Brother Larry and I'm not listening to the Word of God. And not only that, but when I get in the Bible, he's preaching out Jeremiah chapter 29, you're probably in Psalms chapter 30 somewhere. But friend, it's not helping at all tonight. Hey, I'm sitting here, I'm preaching the Word of God. Your mind might be somewhere across the street. It might be somewhere what happened on Christmas Day. It might be something what you got to do tomorrow. And you got to face some kind of issue tomorrow. And for you're not right here. So captivity's coming your way. Just mark it down. Happened to Israel. It's happening to America. The cause. Now I want you to notice number two. Not only the cause of captivity, I want you to notice the control of captivity. This is interesting. Think chapter 25 in our same verse where we're at now. Think of verse 9 through 11. Now I want you to notice tonight who controls this captivity. I want you to notice who controls the when, the where, the who, the how, the why, and the what. Verse 9, behold, every time you see I, it's God. I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations around about, and will utterly destroy them and make them astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolation as an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Well, I tell you, who's in control? It's God that's in control. Back into our text. There in verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you. He cares. Who's going to bring you there? God's going to bring you there. God is going to put them in captivity. God's going to put them in a certain place of captivity. God's going to put the ones over them that's in captivity. And God's going to bring them out of captivity. All I'm saying tonight, dear church, is this. Is you and I have seen in Israel 70 years of captivity. And you have seen that God is in complete control of that captivity. He chose when it began. He chose who will cause the harm and the suffering. He chose who's going to be within that suffering. He chose how long the suffering will last. He chose how He's going to get them out of the suffering. He chose them how the captivity will end. And the fact of that tonight is this, dear church, is that God is in complete control. And God's even in our government tonight. And God's even in all that's taking place, even the health care. And God is in every law. And God is in every court decision. And God is in every one is in control. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So whithersoever He willeth tonight, He'll do whatever He can. And you can mark it down tonight, on this day in which we're speaking, that everything is going to happen in 2014, that happened already in 2013, that did not go to the favor to the church, and did not go to the favor of Christianity, and did not go to the favor of Christians tonight. And friend, you can mark it down that as we pull away from God's Word, and as God's Word is not obeyed, and it's not chosen, and it's not considered, and tonight when it's not told about, we can find ourselves in a captivity, and God is the one that brought it all. We can't look at God and say, God, why did you do that? We got to look at ourselves and say, God, we done that. And friend, it's going to get harder and harder and tougher and tougher. Let me show you a little bit about what they went through tonight. Talking about the captivity that they went through. I want to show you tonight just a tad about, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles. You know, we talk tonight, boy, I hope it gets better. It's not. The only way it's going to get better is you and I begin to hearken to His Word. The only way it's going to get better is President Obama begins to hearken unto His Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. This is just a tad bit of what really took place with this Nebuchadnezzar and when he came about. And God, remember God said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant? Because God's in control. Think of verse 11. So Zedekiah, I hope everybody's there. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Verse 12, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Same time Jeremiah is speaking here, speaking there. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused the prophets, and to the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon the king of the Chaldees, and who slew their young men with the sword of the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, unto the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by his mouth of Jeremiah, unto the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, and for as long as she had lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years until that was fulfilled. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you and I do not begin to turn and hearken unto the Lord, we in America will find persecutions of this height. Don't you think tonight we're going to skate out of this thing? We're not. It was God that said to his people, "You won't hearken unto me." And what happened? All of Israel. Men died. Boys died. Ladies died. Old people died. Young people died. Hey, friend, it was brutal. They're not going to care. They're not going to care. And when God says, listen, the reason why America is in the place that America is in is because God is judging America. Now, people don't like to hear that tonight, but so what? The fact of the matter is tonight, you and I that are in America, and not only that, but God's judging the whole world if we could ever see it that far out, and find that what's being judged tonight is people who will not hearken to God's Word. And we find tonight, in that the case, that we're going to have more hardships, we're going to have more hard times. It's going to be difficult times. It's not going to be easy times. You're going to find yourself in real, real troubles tonight. And I'm not trying to give you doom and gloom. I'm telling you there's a hope, because back in our text in chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible says to give you an expected end. So God's going to give us an end. But right now, in the point of this message, its fact is that God has said to you and I by the way of Israel that this is what happens when you don't hearken unto His Word. So it's important every single day that you and I get into our Bible. And it's important that every time this preacher preaches from this pulpit, he preaches the Bible. It's important tonight that you and I go out of these doors and tell people about the Bible. If we're going to hearken unto the Lord. Amen? And so we've seen the cause of it. We've seen the control, and God's in complete control. Then I want to show you thirdly tonight, the care. The care in captivity. I want you to notice there in verse, back into our text, chapter 29, verse 10, he says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you." Now, while there is a captivity, an exile that's going on in Israel, in Babylon, God said with a promise that I will visit you. Now, that encourages my heart tonight to know that God will visit with us. Amen? Now, what are we to do while we're in captivity? Say America is in captivity, spiritual captivity. say that America, all the world's in spiritual captivity. Oh, the people of God, what are we supposed to do? Well, I want you to look there in verse 4 of chapter 29. He says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives." Now, he's talking about everybody that's in captivity. Okay? Tonight, I feel that America is in spiritual captivity. I know that Israel was in captivity because that's what the Bible teaches tonight. So what did Israel, what was Israel told to do? What was Israel told to how to live? And we got to do the very same tonight. And he says this. He says, verse 5, "Build ye houses, dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace." And then he goes on in verse 8, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners, that it be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you caused them to be dreamed." And all he's saying tonight is there something positive and there's something negative. He says, while you're in captivity, it's not the time for you and I to stop living. To throw our hands up, to sell our places, to quit our jobs, and go run into the mountains. He didn't say do that. He said, keep life just as life is. Keep your homes. Plant your gardens. Give your children unto those that are godly, those that love God. And take on their children. That they may have children so that you'd increase. He said, not only that, but pray for the city that I've let you save. Wherever you're captive at, you pray for that city. Are you praying for this thing? He said, I'll bring peace. Even though you're in captivity, I'll bring you some peace. Now tonight, I'm just trying to tell you what Christians would do. But tonight, it's us to go out and tell others about Christ is what God wants. For us to shut up and put our head in the sand like an ostrich. And to be fearful of Muslims and Sodomites and the government and anything else and scared to say anything to anybody or anything about the things of God, friend, it's got to go away. And we've got to live life as we've always lived life. And continue to pray for God. That God would do something in this city. That God would do something where we're at. That God would bless us and God would change. And you know, I hear this all the time. Don't pray because it's going to get bad out there. It don't matter if you pray or not. It ain't going to help. But God said, that's not true. I told you to pray. We know it's going to get bad. It's got to get bad according to the Bible prophecy. But in the meantime, God says it don't have to get bad right where you're at. It might be bad all the way around you. But it may not be right there where you're at. It might not be right there where your little location is. Your little 3x3 box where you live. He said, if you just do it. But then I want you also to know that those false prophets out there, don't listen to them. You see that? All those people say, everything's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's going to be only okay to those that are mine. And all those people out there, the false prophets about what they're teaching and what they're preaching, that you don't have to go through Jesus to be saved, and everybody's going to heaven when they die, and it wasn't Jesus' blood that washes away your sin and gives you forgiveness, it ain't through the death of Christ that you get freedom and you get liberty, and you don't know if you go to heaven or not when you die. And that's a lie. It's a lie that you have no assurance of yourself. It's a lie tonight that there's no eternity out there, that if you die, you just kind of roam around in some kind of outer space a trip that you take for the rest of eternity, or you have a soul sleep when you go in the grave, your soul just sleeps there. That's all lies. Don't listen to all that. Listen to the Word of God. Amen? And so we find tonight that God says these are what we ought to be doing. Can I say number one in verse 10 that this visit means to look far or to look after, to care after. So we find in verse 10 that God says that after this captivity, He says, I'll visit you. I care for you. But then I notice that God's faithful. For he says in verse 10, he says, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. And God's saying, listen, I am faithful. Whatever promises I made to you, I will keep them. It don't matter what the world's coming to. It don't matter what's around you. It don't matter all the circumstances you're in. It don't matter if all of hell rise up against you and all of the enemies of God come against you. I am faithful. I will continue. I will do the promises I've told you. I will keep my word. Whatever I promised you is what a promise I'll keep. I've not failed one. I'll not let one go by. I am thankful. Hallelujah. Glory to God that He cares for us that care for Him. Amen? So you and I tonight, that in the church, we can see on the horizon what's taking place. But man, God said, I'll visit you. And I'll keep my word. I'm faithful. Number two, not only is He faithful, but He's thoughtful. He says there in verse 11, He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. I want you to notice tonight that when people are under siege and people that are made servants and people that are suffering tonight and people that have come under this toil and this circumstance of situations tonight, you can just mark it down tonight that God is thoughtful. I don't know if I can really say what I'm trying to say. Except tonight when you and I are just in the midst of a battle. Amen. When things are not going well in the home front. When our kids be acting up and rebellious. It just seems like, boy, work is not going so well and health is kind of breaking down. It just seems like, man, everything you turn financially, it's just another 1,000 here, another 100 here, another just something else is breaking and something else is about to break. And you get hit from every angle. You get hit from every spot. And I'm just telling you that it just seems like life is a turmoil and life is just a bitter way to go. And it just seems like, well, things are just falling to pieces. He says this. He said, don't think that my thought towards you is evil. In other words, when you're in the midst of all that, sometimes we get negative. You ever get negative? And we say this, what did I do? How come I'm going through this? What lesson do I have to learn? Is this a trial that I got to do tomorrow too? God, tell me what I got to do to pass this trial. How this test here, I'm telling you what, it's just way more than I can handle. I mean, it just seems like there's like 6 tests right in the room. Oh God. You know, and what we're thinking that God is allowing in our lives and God's doing what He's doing of some sort of evil. That word evil means hurt or pain or suffering. Can I tell you tonight that God says, that's not what I'm thinking of you. I've never thought that what I'm thinking of you is to hurt you, to put pain on you, to bring sorrow on you. And tonight, every one of us could testify and say, hey, this experience I've had, loving God, serving God, and I felt some pain and I felt some suffering and I felt some hurt. But that wasn't God's thought. That's what you might went through, experience, but that wasn't what God was thinking. I mean, God didn't do what He did so that He could just say, tell you what I'm going to do with that guy. I'm going to hurt him good. God's not into hurt. Uh-uh. That's what He's saying right here. He's saying that what I'm trying to say to you is this, is that I know the thoughts. My thoughts is a pick. Now, the word thought, now listen to this tonight, and we're close. The word thought tonight in the Word of God means my intention. So what God is saying to you and I in verse 11, while in captivity, He's saying, my intentions. I know the thoughts that I think. I know my intentions. The word thought means plans. I know the plans. It also means purposes. Now, He uses the word peace there. He says, my thoughts towards you are the thoughts of peace. In other words, tonight, I want to bring wellness to you. So whatever you're in tonight, whatever you're facing tonight, whatever friction and contention that you are in, and whatever battle, whatever war you feel like you're fighting tonight, God said, my plans and my intentions and boy, and my desires for you is that you have wellness. If we could ever see it from this point of view. Not to see of wellness, but that word peace means it means to bring happiness. You say, well, Brother Larry, you mean me going through all this stuff in my home and me going through all this financial situations and I've given it to God and I've let God have it. You're telling me that it's all for my happiness? Can I tell you that's the thought of God? But why does it hurt so bad? Because of you. You're not hearkening. You're not obeying. You're not concerned with His Word. You're not considering it. I mean, His Word is afar off. You're trying to do what you do because that's what you've been told to do. You're trying to do what you do because that's what your parents did. You're trying to do what you do because that's what tradition holds. You try to do what you do because that's what a book you read. You're trying to do what you do because that's what a TV show I saw did. That's how that husband, that's how that wife did. I watched them shows. You know, it used to be like Peyton Place. I don't know if that's even on there anymore. That's gone. Sorry, man. I'm indicating my age. But I'm also showing that TV is not my way of living. All I'm saying is a lot of those, what do they call them shows? Soap operas. Man, I was trying to get the soap opera. And they call it something else, don't they? Bellas, the villas or whatever that stuff is. It's all the same nonsense. It's unreal, untrue, troubles for the home. All that's troubles. And yet tonight, you'll find that that's exactly God's trying to bring to you and I wellness and happiness to the home, to our bodies, to our church, to America. Also, the word peace means wholeness. A wholeness. God's trying to bring wholeness to America. Every time that He does what He does in the way of bringing in captivity, it's for the wholeness of it. And every time that you're in captivity as America tonight is a wholeness of it. Israel, God said, the reason why you are, because I want you whole. You see, God's not thinking evil of us. God's not thinking, I wish they'd die and go to hell. I tell you what, one of these days I'm going to kick them off into fire. I can't wait till I do that. God don't think that. God says, I think of peace. I just want wellness. I want happiness and I want wholeness. Isn't that good tonight to know that that's how God thinks of us? That word tonight of evil would mean grief or sorrow or hurt. It means misery or distress. If you're in any of that tonight, you're in hurt, you're in shame, I mean you're in grief, you're in sorrow, you're in misery, you're in distress. If you're in any of that tonight, it's not because of God. You hear me? God didn't put nobody in any of that. Everything God did in this captivity is to bring wholeness and wellness and happiness. But then I will show you thirdly, my end. Verse 11 says, He says, to give you an expected end. In other words, what God is saying to you and I tonight, we might be in our captivity. We might be in America that's in captivity. We might be in spiritual captivity. We might be personally in captivity. But God says, listen, I'm going to bring you, I want to give you my end. And my end for you is there's a future. This ain't it. This ain't all. Listen, folks. If you live to be 70 years old, if you live to be the age of Brother Gene, how 86? 86 years old. That could be a blessing. It could be a curse. Depends what it's going to take by the time we get to be 86. But He's already there. But the fact is, there's an end. God's looking today in our lives. But God says, listen, I'm going to bring you an expected end. There's going to be a future for you. Woo! You mean this ain't it? This ain't it. He said, that word expected in means there's a hope for you. Yeah. There's an expectation for you. And when you and I start to live, because sometimes we get into this tunnel vision that this is really all life is. You've lost it. You know what? You go insane if you think this is all that it is. I work hard every day. And every day somebody works hard to take what I make. I make a lot of money, and a lot of money goes away. I can try to build my reputation, I can try to build my testimony, and one word and one thing can destroy it in one second. But friend, we've got to start looking and living not in the captivity that we're in, and not in all the turmoil and all the disturbances, but looking and saying, you know what? God's not thinking of me in the way of evil. He's saying in the way of peace, and to bring an expected end, knowing that God is going to bring a future to this life. And I've got a hope and expectation. You know what? I can live whole like that. I can live happy that way. I can live well that way. Amen? Thus, when I get in my situation and I start looking at really what's going on in my life, man, I'm ready to go hang either me or somebody. I'm ready just to go off somewhere. I've heard people say this before. I'm just ready to pack up my stuff and go out in the country somewhere and get out of all this. Well, David said it like this. He said, I wish I had wings like a bird. And I'd fly away. That's what he said. Well, tonight, can I tell you that the care in the captivity is God's care. Even though we might find ourselves in a time, just remember, God cares. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.